Hello and welcome. Welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints Online. It's great to be with you wherever you are at this moment. It's great to be with you. I'm Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate at St Andrew's and All Saints. I'm going to be leading the service this morning. And Reverend Helen Wilkinson, who is going to be teaching later, and I'll introduce her in case you don't know who she is. But let us begin our service this morning with an opening sentence and then let me pray. Hopefully the words will come up on the screen for you. But let us say together, we stand before the throne of God with countless crowds from every nation and race, tribe and language. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honour, power and might to our God for ever and ever. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we'll thank you for bringing us together to worship, to glorify you and lift your name on high. Wherever we are, Lord, you are sovereign, and we lift our eyes to you this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just for a moment think about the past week. How has your week been for you? I don't know about you. I've had a real mixed week. I have to say, very lethargic. I really found it difficult to have the energy to focus and to really sort of engage with things. I've been sort of a bit all over this week. But there have been peaks of great joy. I've had enormous success in my very small vegetable patch. I don't know if you can see the picture there with my courgettes. Yes, look at the size of those. So that's given me lots of joy. There's also been some good news about my football team, for those interested in sport. And perhaps the peak of this week is that on a number of occasions, Emma and I have managed to get out and meet one or two of you and reconnect and to see some people in the flesh. And that's been really uplifting and encouraging, and perhaps I'll say more about that at the end of the service. But how's your week been? Let's just in a moment reflect on the things that we need to be thankful for the things that we perhaps need to say sorry for, the things that have made us laugh, and the things that have made us sad. Just draw those to mind now. And give those to God now. Those are things of the past to reflect, to enjoy, or to leave at the foot of the cross. But give those things to God now. And know that today is a new day, and God's blessings are new every day. At the beginning of John chapter 14, Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me," in Jesus. We're going to sing a song in a moment that says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, but believe in God. Believe in me. Believe in Jesus." And whatever week you've had, whether there's great things to be thankful for and other things that have been more difficult, then we can trust in God. Dave was teaching in Psalm 27 last week that we can have confidence in God, that he is our solid rock, our solid foundation in which we can embrace each day, each week, each month, each moment of our lives. So let us stand and sing and worship, fixing our eyes on God. Thank you, God, that you are the God who saves. As that first song said, let not your hearts be troubled. I love in that second song where it says, God turns our mourning into song. God saves us in the good times and the difficult times, whatever point. There is an eternal saving that God has over our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, we're very conscious that one of the great holes in the present time in our forms of worship is those times of family time, and particularly all the children's groups. And I'm hoping that you families out there have been able to use the online resources which Helen has so wonderfully prepared for us over the weeks. But it isn't the same. It is more difficult. And it's very challenging for you mums and dads out there to disciple, teach and to worship with your children. And so I wanted to ask a family how they've been coping and how they've been approaching their Sundays. So here's Misha and Jazz and their three children, their three girls, Lizzie, Becky and Susanna, telling us a little bit about how they've approached recent months. So listen to this.
So we've really missed church since lockdown. We've missed fellowship, seeing people and that weekly encouragement of meeting with people and chatting. But we've also enjoyed church at home.
Yeah, we've been doing church with the girls in the sitting room in the mornings, which has been really nice. It's been a nice gathering as a family and doing it all together, which is, I guess, something we wouldn't be doing normally. The services are interesting. The girls tend to be jumping up and down a lot during the worship, which
running
is
around, yeah, making lots of noise.
Yeah, which is fun. We've sort of enjoyed that though. And what I think the main plus for us has been the fact that we've been able to do the kids work with them, which has been really nice.
Yeah, we're really grateful for the kids work that's been put on, and that's. The girls love their groups at church, and they are still really keen for them at home, aren't they? And I think that's been a silver lining, really, and it's been a challenge for us to be able to provide the sessions for them. And I think some have been more successful than others, haven't they? And we've tried to be creative, and yeah, some of it hasn't gone so well, but they've enjoyed a lot of the things that. We sort of followed what's been suggested on the website, and we've been really grateful for that. Really good suggestions, and we've definitely had fun.
My favourite was making a fortress out of the sofas.
That's right at the start.
That was right at the start. That was really good.
Yeah. So we've definitely had some fun, and I think we're really looking forward to church being back to how it was, whenever that will be. But for now, we're making the most of it, and the online services have been good, and they've definitely been silver linings where we've been able to grow and be challenged by it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're just really grateful that church can still continue in spite of the circumstances.
David prays God by playing his harp.
Yes, and singing songs.
Go!
And then we made a harp. And we made a shaker with Mummy. We made it out of tissue paper and paper.
So when we do church at home and we sing the songs, what do you like to do?
Do the actions. And we bounce on our hoppers.
Thank you so much for sharing a little bit of how you've been worshipping. And I hope for families with other young children that has been some encouragement. We really do understand it hasn't been easy for you. But can I also just take this moment to give a shout out to Eddie and all the team that have been mentoring the young people from the sort of 12 upwards, the 11-year-olds upwards, on their Sunday morning Zooms, their prayer meetings on Sunday afternoons, and the mentoring that is going on throughout the week. All of those involved in that, you are amazing, and thank you so much for the encouragement and the input you're putting into our young people. Bless you. It's a hidden work, but it's greatly, greatly appreciated. So I hope that thanks gets to you somehow. Please pass it on if you see them. Now, we are starting today a new teaching series on the letter of Philippians. And I want to encourage you at some point, perhaps in the next week, to sit down and to read the whole letter through. It'll only take you 45 minutes or so, but just to get the whole picture and really soak yourself into this scripture in the coming weeks. Reverend Helen Wilkinson is going to be preaching later, and she's going to start the series off. Now, many of you may not know who Helen is, so let me give you a brief introduction. Helen retired to Malvern about a year ago, and she's been part of our community at St Andrews and has been up at St All Saints as well. But she was previously a secondary school teacher teaching maths, and then she was ordained in 2004 and then went to Newbury to do her curacy. And after her curacy, she was the associate pastor for the Emmanuel Church in Northwood, Northwest London. And there she planted a church into a school, and she's been there until she retired here. I also asked her what did she enjoy doing in her free time, and she says she loves to swim, which she's really desperately missed during this time. So there's a little bit of Helen, and she'll be on in a moment to teach, to preach out of Philippians 1. But we're going to sing and worship before then. So like those girls, if you want to grab a hopper or some other form of help to worship, then do so. But let's worship the Lord.
Give you everything. the goodness of God.
I wonder what for you has been the most difficult part of lockdown. I remember a few weeks ago, in one of these Sunday morning talks, Peter, our curate, saying that he missed the sport. Or maybe you miss going to the shops, or having your hair or nails done. Perhaps you've been longing to return to office banter, or chatting with other parents in the school playground. But it seems that the thing that most, if not all of us, have missed above all else is simply being with other people in the physical here and now. The social side of what it means to be human. Because engagement over Zoom is simply not enough. As one friend put it to me so well over the phone, I just miss being able to go out for a cup of coffee with someone else. This Sunday we're starting a new series from one of the letters in the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Philippians. And it's actually the perfect choice, because the letter from the Apostle Paul to the young church in Philippi couldn't be more relevant for lockdown and for coming out of it as we're doing now. And that's because this letter was written in extreme isolation. Paul is writing from prison lockdown, most likely in Rome, where we think he'd been for some months. And from the letter we find that Paul appears to be in a social bubble with his friend Timothy, along no doubt with those who are set to guard them in their prison. But the focus of the letter is on relationships with those who are distant from Paul. These people in the church at Philippi mean so much to him. He's pastored them, he's led them, he's taught them from the scriptures, and he's desperate to see them again. So that makes Christian fellowship one of the main themes of this letter. Of all the letters in the New Testament written to first century churches, it is this letter, the one to the Philippians, that is known as the letter of friendship. So let's have today's reading from this Bible passage. And if you're able, it would suggest that before we start, it would be helpful to look it up and to have it in front of you as we look at it together. Today's
reading is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. From Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we look together at this passage now, let's pray, shall we, as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible, and we ask that today you will speak to us from it, and that you will give us something fresh that will impact our day-to-day living. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to begin with Paul's first summary of how he feels about his friends in Philippi, his heart for friendship. Look first of all at chapter 1 and verse 7, where he declares to them, "I have you in my heart." There is such a depth of fellowship expressed here. Even though he reaches out to these people from a distance, Paul declares, "I have you in my heart." He hasn't seen them for ages, yet they have such a close bond. If we look at verse 8, we find, "I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Paul is stirred to the very depths of his emotions when he thinks of the people in Philippi. "I have you in my heart." So why should this be the case? Well, he describes the Philippians as partners with him in God's work. They were inhabitants of Philippi, an important city in what is now northeastern Greece. And you can see it located as number 4 on this map. Philippi was situated on a major trade route that made it both a strategic location and a Roman settlement. And on Paul's first visit there, there were no local Christians at all. But that changed when one day he went to a public place to pray. There he bumped into a small group where he struck up a conversation with a businesswoman called Lydia. This woman came to faith in Jesus, and so the Christian church in Europe was born. You can read more about it in the book of Acts in chapter 16. So Lydia became the first ever European Christian and a core person in the fledgling fellowship that Paul established at Philippi. And when the time comes for him to leave Philippi, Paul says a fond farewell to a group of Christian brothers and sisters gathered together in Lydia's home. All of the people at Philippi who became part of this new church were dear to Paul. And yet, there is more being expressed here than simply emotion. As God's people, they have a bond of fellowship, a type of friendship that is shaped by who they are in Jesus, regardless of time and distance. Christian friendship becomes fellowship when we know that we belong to Jesus. Our identity is in Christ. The only reason that we're linked together is because of all that God has done for us in Jesus. In verse 7 here, Paul describes it like this: "I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me." Look at how he begins his letter. "Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," in verses 1 and 2. Despite being their founding church leader and teacher, Paul describes himself simply as a servant of Jesus, writing to fellow Christians. He is one of them, and all are of equal value. Before he became a Christian, Paul had been a highly regarded Jewish teacher and thinker. He'd followed all the right rules and did all the right things to try and curry favour with God. But when he met Jesus, he became the apostle of grace. Paul regards himself as no better than anyone else. He understood that for us as Christians, one of the most important things that we can do is to remember that we are saved by grace, and that I'm loved by grace on this day, now, today. God did not save me by grace, only to decide that he will base how he feels about me today on my spiritual performance from yesterday. God's love is always a gracious love, renewed daily for the here and now. If you're new to this service, I wonder if you've ever thought about what being a Christian really means. According to the Bible, it means being a person who recognises God's gracious love for them. We've all known the pain of being on the outside, of not being wanted. When they came to choose teams, for instance, or being spurned by someone we love, or forgotten by someone we thought was a friend. Yet now, through the invitation of Jesus, God himself says that you are chosen. You can be his friend. You are wanted today. And this explains why, at the start of this letter, Paul launches immediately into thanksgiving for the Christians of Philippi. Following on from the initial greeting, he declares in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. As they all share in God's grace together, verse 7, these people are precious to both God and to one another. And so Paul is grateful for each one. And we see, therefore, that thanksgiving is an actual starting place when we begin to pray for others. But things then move on in Paul's prayers. In verses 9 to 11, he writes this, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. As I've studied this in the past week, I've found myself really challenged. This prayer is a prayer that prays for spiritual growth for people. And in my prayers, I can be quite good at praying for people's immediate practical needs, for work, or for housing, or for safety, or relationships, for instance. But praying for my fellow Christians to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, as he prays here, doesn't cross my mind too often. So how can we better shape our prayers in the style of this model prayer that benefited the Philippian church? Well, I decided to start where I already am, by taking a place that I've already been praying for and blessing the Christians there with these new prayer ideas. I've never found it easy to pray for God's intervention in issues on the world stage. But during this pandemic, I've discovered a new heart to pray for God's hurting world. Each morning, I now take time to follow the worldwide news in greater detail than I've ever done before, and then I pray to God about it. So last week, I was praying for Brazil, where the virus has gone into overdrive. And especially, I prayed for the church in Brazil. I already knew that South America is a place where the Christian church is flourishing, especially amongst the Pentecostal and charismatic traditions of both Protestant and Roman Catholic churches. And I knew too that Christians there do a lot of work in the local community. So my prayer has been largely centred on those who are ministering to the poor, those tightly packed together in substandard housing, and for those who sit beside the beds of the seriously ill and dying, and who comfort the bereaved. I pray for the safety of key workers everywhere. What I'm I've discovered in using these ideas from Philippians is that it's really enriched my prayers. So now I begin by giving thanks for the religious freedom of Brazil, for instance, and for the lively church there. Then I follow Paul's pattern from verse 9, where he writes, "This is my prayer, that you may love, your love may abound more and more." The main request is for love. Not some wishy-washy, transient rush of blood to the head type of love, but a deep, meaningful, making a difference type of love. Love that is exercised in knowledge and depth of insight to be able to discern what is best. So I prayed that as God's church in Brazil reaches out, God will fill them with the love that they need to fulfil their caring and their calling at this time. Even when they're tired and drained, even when there is danger from the virus, and that their love will be governed by wisdom and depth of insight, so they will know, for instance, who to spend time with during the day. It's really enriched my prayers for these people. And it can be applied to anywhere. Maybe, as for Paul and the Philippians, for somewhere where you have a personal link. Somewhere in the UK, perhaps. Or maybe Brazil, or North Korea, or North America, or across Malvern. And finally, we have here an assurance in this passage that prayer makes a difference. Paul prays expecting fruit, good things to grow as God answers Paul's prayers for that greater love. Because it is through Jesus that there will be the fruit of righteousness, verse 11, the fruit of righteousness to the glory and praise of God. And that leads us into the final aspect of prayer illustrated here. That prayer is not simply about my own efforts. Prayer is about what God in Jesus will do. Paul closes his prayer in verse 11 in the confidence with which he began to pray when he wrote in the second part of verse 4. He said this initially, "I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God is undergirding our prayers to work everything out to the glory and praise of God. He, it says here, is the one who begins a good work in all of his people. He is the one who brings the fruit, verse 11. And he is the one who will complete everything in the end and fulfill all things well. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Sometimes I've wondered if prayer is worth it. This verse assures me that it is. This is God's work. God's work of grace in his people. It's not our work, it's his. And we just need to get on board with him and all he wants to do in us and through us in his world today. Amen. We're now going to have a few moments quiet where we're going to have time for response to anything that you feel God's been talking to you about today during this service. There might be something from a song or one of the hymns or from a prayer or from a reading or something somebody said or shared. Or there might be something specifically from this start of Philippians that is something that this morning has challenged you, maybe about how you feel about grace, the grace of God, and God's gracious love for you. And you might want to respond to that in some way. There might be something about your prayer life that you felt challenged about. And we're just going to bring all of that to God now. And in the quiet, pray that God will speak to each one of us this morning. God, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you loved us just as we are, but also that you love us so much that you don't want us to stay as we are, but you want to lead us on to grow in you and to bear fruit. We ask for your blessing upon our lives this week, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Loving God, we thank you today for the fellowship and friendship we share within our church family. We thank you for the unity we have discovered together in Christ, for the love that binds us together. We thank you for our partnership in prayer as we claim your promise to be with us. We thank you for the opportunities we have to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But above all, we thank you for your promise that as you began a good work in us, so you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Loving God, we are only too aware of our weakness as individuals and as a church family. But we praise you that you have called us to be one people in fellowship with you and each other. Lord, in your love, hear our prayer.
Today, we celebrate the 72nd birthday of the NHS. Never have we needed it more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the inspiration of Nye Bevan and others, providing free healthcare for all. In the light of the COVID-19 crisis, we continue to pray for doctors, nurses, physiotherapists and all support workers working tirelessly in hospitals, care homes and the wider community. We pray for times of rest and refreshment to keep them strong in body, mind and spirit. Lord, in your love,
hear our prayer.
However, God of compassion, we grieve with you over the widespread suffering, in particular in South Sudan, Yemen, Syria and Bangladesh. Draw close to those who are fearful and have lost hope. We pray for all emergency relief workers. Please strengthen and protect them as they seek to meet the needs of those around them. Lord, in your love,
hear our prayer. As we go into another week, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Now please join with us in the prayer that Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
mountains shake and crumble at your name. The oceans roll and tumble at your name. Angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth will shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. At your name, the morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow. Shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise. Let's praise Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord. Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise.
Time together for today is beginning to come to an end, but just a few things to share with you before we finish. And just to start with, here's a little thank you.
Hi everyone.
Hello.
We just wanted to say a massive thank you to everyone that donated to The Climb.
So we aim to raise money for Tear Fund to help people in poverty tackle the spread of coronavirus. By climbing the equivalent height of Mount Kilimanjaro, which meant we each went up and down the stairs 317 times a day for a week.
So we were really grateful for everyone who donated, because we raised so much more than we thought, and it totaled up at £2,000, which is absolutely amazing.
And it will really help stop the spread of coronavirus.
Yeah, it's awesome. We are so grateful for all of you guys that donated, and just for having such a supportive church family. Yeah, you are amazing, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye. Guys. Bye.
Well done to the three of you. Amazing job. Well done. Very creative. Now, two things. I mentioned earlier that one of the highlights for me this last week was being able to meet up with a few other people in the flesh to be able to reconnect. And I just want to encourage you. I know the rules are opening up. Some of the rules are a bit confusing sometimes. But I want to encourage you to, particularly life groups, to work out how you may be able to safely connect in the flesh, to meet up and encourage one another, to pray together, to read the scriptures together. There's a wonderful idea that I heard this week from one life group, and they do alternate weeks where 1 week they get together on Zoom, and then alternate weeks they break up into smaller groups, four in a group, and meet in the gardens, tea and coffee, whatever, and to pray for one another. And that's such an uplifting and such a positive thing to be able to do, and very, really healthy for all of us. So for those in life groups, I really encourage you to think about how your group could do that. For those not in groups, then please get in touch with us centrally, and we can not only come and meet up and visit you, but also work out perhaps where there are other ways in which you can meet people. Also, don't forget that we've got the churches open at various times for personal prayer, and a number of you are taking advantage of that already. So well done. Finally, many of you will be probably asking the question, what does it mean for the churches to reopen? You will have seen that in the news. We are trying to work that out right now. Please be patient with us. Dave is putting, or has already put together, a little video which will explain what we're trying to do. It's an odd time because we've got the summer season, lots of people are away. We're trying to get some time away as well, and then into September. And do you know what? The world will probably look different again for us in September. So we are putting a plan together and talking with the PCC to look to see what the summer looks like, and the summer probably into September. And then when we come back to September, there'll probably be a wider consultation with you to work out what the autumn long term and the run up to Christmas looks like, because things are not going to, as we're discovering, we're in this for the long haul. And there's constant change. It isn't simple to work out how we handle all the different services, different contexts, etc. So please be patient. Please ask questions. If you've got questions, please get in contact with us. But please know there's a plan, and you can listen to Dave's video that will give you more information. I hope that's okay at this moment, but please get in touch if you're concerned or you want to discover more. So let me finish our worship today with a blessing. I'm going to read the priestly blessing from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and amongst you, now and always. Amen. Bless you, keep well, and speak to you very soon. Bye-bye.